Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hey, Every Nation Brisbane family, and for everyone tuning in today, I am Sis, and I'm here to read today's scripture. If you are able to, can you please stand in reverence for the reading of God's Word, which is taken from the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now Romans chapters 3, verses 3 to 12 and 18 to 24. What if some were unfaithful? Does their faithlessness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though everyone were a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way. By no means. For then how could God judge the world? But if through my lie God's truth abound to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? And why not do evil that good may come? As some people slanderously charge us with saying, their condemnation is just. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. May God bless the reading of his holy word. And now let's prepare our hearts for what God will have for us today.
Hope you're ready for the word of God this morning as we're continuing in our series called The Fight of Our Lives. Like I said at the top, my name is Nelly. If you're just joining us, I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane, and we want to welcome you to our online service. And so this series called The Fight of Our Lives, we're actually going through the book of Jude, a very short book, but we're breaking down the scriptures here. And so as was read by Sis, we looked at verse 3 and 4, but I want to give you the title of my message this morning just to kind of set the platform. And we'll also talk a little bit about what we talked about last week. And again, you can go back to the post from last week and watch the video message there. But the title of my message this morning is No Grease in My Grace. No Grease in My Grace. In this series, we're talking about the book of Jude, obviously, but one of the kind of meta factors of what I want to talk about during this series is not just break down the scriptures, but also give you the tools or some tools to know how to break the scriptures down. And so as we break the scriptures down, I'm going to be teaching you a good way to deepen your understanding and knowledge of how to read the Bible. This is really important for every Christian. And we talked about this last week. If this word is described in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 as the sword of the Spirit, meaning he equips us to know how to fight through life and fight the enemy, we need to know how to what's in this Bible, what's in this word, and what it says about the God that we serve and who we are in him. And so when we look at the book of Jude, as we look at any passage in the Bible, I want to encourage you, whether you're a believer or not, to look at the content, okay, and the context of the scriptures that we find. So the context of the scriptures, we talked last week about looking at where the scripture was written, when it was written, who it was written to and who wrote it, and what the scripture might say. in that context. Today, I want to focus a little bit on context, but with regards to the issues that were being faced at the time, the issues that were being faced during the time that Jude writes this. Now, we talked a little bit about how Jude, amongst all the brothers of Jesus, Jesus had brothers who were born later after Jesus, and they all followed Jesus. They didn't follow him during his life, but you can read in Acts and the book of 1 Corinthians around the 9th chapter about the brothers of Jesus and the relatives of Jesus who all followed him and became apostolic leaders in the body of Christ. Jude was one of them. And so during that time, obviously they were under Roman rule. And so Jude writes around anywhere between 70 to the end of the first century after, or Anno Domini, or AD. And so during that time, some of the prevalent issues that we see around that region within Christendom is the pressure to conform to the worship of the Roman emperor. So that's what we see in the writing of the scripture. That's what we see in that context. Is there's all sorts of pressure. And what would happen is if they didn't worship the Roman emperor, we would see what we call martyrdom, where people would have to have their lives laid down in Colosseums, or they would be killed, or much like Jesus and all of his disciples, except John, we can talk about that some other time, were all killed because of their faith in God. Now, this is the sort what we call persecution, right? Where you are persecuted for your faith. There's pressure to conform to a worship away from God. But that pressure was so strong that these men and women laid their lives down for what they believed. And who they believed was the King of all kings, and is the King of all kings in our case. So this is what they faced. But another thing they faced during that time, and this is where the title of No Greece in My Grace comes in, is because can you imagine there's so much pressure to conform? Now, the pressure we might face here in Australia, or those of you who are watching this from Western nations, might be a different kind of pressure. It's not necessarily being thrown into an arena with lions and other animals to be martyred or burnt at the stake, but there may be all sorts of pressure that you might find to conform, right? To conform to the world. Like the world may have a certain standard that the world wants us to follow. And we won't get necessarily into these topics today, other than to say how many of you can understand what I mean when I talk about how the world will say one thing, you should believe this, or you should adhere to this worldview, and yet the gospel or the scriptures will say another thing. Like, this is the truth of the word of God. This is the way God has created us. Now, you can see when there is a juxtaposition of you need to follow popular opinion or you need to follow God, there is somewhat of a social pressure that comes upon Christians to conform to those worldviews that are contradictory to what the word of God says. So when we see that pressure, what ends up emerging is false teaching. And this false teaching comes because what the church tries to do is conform in a way because of the social pressures or even political pressures during that time to conform so that they can find some form of greasy grace. And this is the message, right? There's a cheapening of the message of the gospel in order that we may somehow just kind of widen the scope of what it means to live righteously. How many of you know that Jesus talks about there is a narrow is the way towards the kingdom of God? Gordon Fee, in his book, a book I really highly recommend, How to Read the Bible Book by Book, and he also wrote a book called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. I highly recommend this as an entry point towards studying the Bible in a deeper understanding of the context of the scripture. So Gordon Fee writes this in How to Read the Bible Book by Book. In his commentary on the book of Jude, this is what he says. Their teaching, the teaching that is written in Jude, this false teaching that starts to emerge, appears to be some form of what we call libertinism. I'm sure you said that word sometime during the week. Libertinism. What it means is they have perverted the grace of God into a license for immorality. So we see that in verse 4, which was just read by Sis. And follow their own evil desires like unreasoning animals. So there's kind of like this walking on both sides of a tall fence. Like, let me have 1 foot in church on Sunday and let me have 1 foot in the world so that nobody on this side of the fence knows that I even follow Jesus. I'm just adhering to social pressures or whatever, familial pressures or governmental pressures. Yet on this side, I'll play my personal Jesus where, you know, it's just me and Jesus. It's Jesus and me, Jam Ministries, J-A-M, Jesus and me. So I'm like kind of walking and straddling this fence in my faith, when that's not the sort of Christianity that the gospel talks about, the Bible talks about, or even Jude talks about here. He's saying that he's exposing a false teaching that you can do both. Let me tell you something. If there ever was a time that compromise could easily seep into the church, it's now, because we're all in quarantine. We're all hidden. And it's in the hidden and secret place that the real Christianity starts to come out. Like self-preservation beyond caring for and loving our neighbor. We don't have to, because we can't be seen doing it. Unless you take a photo of it on Instagram, right? Did you know that pornography, the consumption of pornography, is higher now? I believe, won't get into too much detail, but like the consumption of certain pornographic websites has been raised up to 30 to 35% of the viewership, because people are trapped in this lifestyle. And then all sorts of pressures cause people to conform to a form of false teaching. And then we somehow operate within libertinism, right? Where we just say, you know what? It's okay for me to do that. No one else is watching. Look, our Christianity doesn't matter. It's not, our Christianity is not about who's watching. I mean, we live for the audience of one. And so my encouragement for you this morning, right at the start, is don't fall for false teaching. Don't fall for that false teaching. It's in these sort of quarantine times, our mental health, you know, gets exposed. It's in this sort of quarantine times that the real standards as to what we adhere to or what dictates our lives starts to come out. And so we must, and brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, if there ever was a time you needed to know the Bible, you needed to know his word above the word of the enemy that would try to taint what the Lord says, it was now. That time is now. I only briefly touch on this, right? Genesis 3, after God had given clear instructions as to how to operate within the Garden of Eden, the first thing the enemy says there is, did God really say? And when Jesus faces temptation in Matthew chapter 4, what's the first thing the enemy says there? After Jesus was told in his baptism that by the Father, this is my Son whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. The first thing the enemy says is, if you really are the Son of God. And this is what the enemy does in these quarantine times. He says, did he really say? If you really are a child of God, he puts those things into question and causes us to linger down a lane towards false teaching and embracing false teaching that takes us away from the gospel. Now, earlier this week, we lost somebody who is very influential in my ministry, in my Christianity, in terms of being somebody who adheres and lived his life out for the preaching of true gospel teaching, right? And he did this on university campuses amongst intellectuals and those who are the intelligentsia of this world. And that man is Ravi Zacharias. We pay tribute to him. We thank God for the gift of Dr. Ravi Zacharias. And one of the things that Ravi Zacharias said about this context that we're reading about in Jude is this talk about this greasy grace. We can talk about it being like free love, right? How many of you have heard terms like free love? Some of you who are a little more, let's just say, vintage might even remember a time when free love was the go, free love was the way to talk. But that's actually an oxymoron in statement. There's nothing free about love. Let's look at what Rabbi Zacharias says here when he's addressing this. He says, love was never meant to be free. It's a contradiction in words. What does he mean by this? Well, we see this in the scripture as to how much love is expressed and true love gives, right? We see this in the most popular word, in the most popular verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved. Many of you who have been around me and heard me preach on this scripture, remember that this is kind of like that Valley Girl from Los Angeles, kind of so loved. He like so loved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I mean, check that out. He so loved you that he gave. Like, if it's one thing to say, how many of you like have been around people that say they love you, but ain't done nothing for you? Look, if I said to my wife, this is the joke that's been told to me. It's not my joke, but like why should I tell my wife I love her? I told her on our wedding day. That was like 14 years ago. No, there's a constant giving, a constant expression of that love, right? Love is expressed, and God expresses his love to you by giving his son, so that whoever believes in him, any whoever's out there this morning, can I get an amen from a whoever? Whoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. So one would die in order that you don't have to die. That's how much he loves you. Let's take that a step further. This is what Paul writes to the church at Rome in chapter 18. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for you, who can be against you? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Let's jump to verse 37. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who what? Who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. That's pretty much everything. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I need everybody to listen. Okay, you are loved this morning. You are loved by God. God loves you. And he doesn't just say it. He doesn't just say it. He shows it. He shows it in his son. He says, basically, look, if I put my son on the table, everything else is on the table. Because his son is the most valuable thing in heaven. And we don't talk about Jesus as a thing, but you know what I'm saying. He's the most valuable being because he is of himself. We talked about ancestors, right, and descendants. Jesus is of God. Jesus is God, but Jesus is of God as his son. And he says, look, I'm emptying the pockets of heaven because I love you so much. Wow. That should cause you to live differently right now. You can't be mamby-pamby, greasy-gracy around your Christianity right now. Like, that should activate something in you to contend for your faith. Let's look at what Jude says about contending for your faith. In verse 3, he says, beloved. Whew. Beloved. You know what beloved means? Those who are loved. You, me, us. Beloved. Although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, like Jude was saying, you know what? I was just going to write you like a normal sermon on salvation, but I found it necessary to write appealing to you. As Jude appeals to that church, I appeal to our church. I am appealing to you to contend for the faith. Fight for it. It's worth fighting for. This love is worth fighting for. And you know why? It's already victorious because God already fought for you. Now it's just a matter of us stepping into that love and receiving that grace. When you receive that sort of grace, you don't walk two sides of a fence. You jump fully towards God and you say, you know what? I hate sin because it keeps me away from God, because you recognize this love that's been poured out for you. It's not about like do's and don'ts. It's all about, man, I fully want to immerse myself in this love that God has for me because I see it. But the problem is, brothers and sisters, we forget. We forget that he loves us. We start to love other things, little gods, little things. And we start to look for our identity in those things. He's writing to appeal to you to contend for the faith that was once and for all. Everybody say once and for all. Like Jesus laid his life down once and for all. It's done. It is finished. The Tetelestai. We'll sing that in a moment. For all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. So there's people, there's little creeps, little TLC creeps starting to walk into the church and starting to, you know, like compromise. Oh, did God really say that? I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should follow that way. Oh, yeah, don't worry about him. You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about, this and that. You know, trying to water down the grace of God. This is how Jude describes them. Ungodly people who pervert, twist up the grace of our God into sensuality. So the real question becomes, why do I still sin? The answer would be because you like it. Because you like it. And you fall into the lie that God can't fulfill your life. This is what the word shalom means. Fulfilled. Lacking nothing. This is what God wants to bring you into. This peace that causes you to walk in contentment in his presence. And there's a fight that we need to contend for, to fight to stay in his presence. But the noisier and the more that we expose ourselves to what we see and hear that expose our hearts towards smaller gods, we start to see that that's where lust is not just sexual in nature. Lust is the unquenchable pursuit of smaller gods that can't fulfill an eternal void that can only be fulfilled by God, who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. That's the next question I ask. Is he your master and Lord? Because if he is your master and Lord, you are fulfilled. You're taken care of by somebody who loves you. Well, I haven't found him yet. I haven't found him yet, Pastor Nelly. You're here now. And so the question now becomes, not as, is it a matter of have you found him? But it's renewing our minds to know that he's found you. He's found you. You're here. You're listening to this. And therefore, we contend for this faith, right? We don't fall into the trap of following ungodly people who pervert the grace into sensuality. This is not what God wants us to do. Be careful about the company you keep. The voices that start to speak into your ears, they may not be necessarily the company you keep, but the music we listen to or the things, the gossip that we listen to that just kind of promote this lifestyle that causes us to pervert the grace of God. And this is why Romans 3, that was also read by Sis, says this, right? In verse 22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believed, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by what? By his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you today, we don't deserve this grace. We don't deserve this mercy. But this grace that he gives us is undeserved favor. Undeserved favor. Sorry, I'm just thinking about that for a moment. Just how relentless God's pursuit is of me and of you. He doesn't give up. He's never given up on you. And you may think, oh man, I'm unworthy of that pursuit. No. He chases after you. Let me put this in human terms. I know we had some sad news of the Rabbi Zacharias' passing, but let me share some happy news of something that happened earlier this week. I'm just going to read this article. This is actually from ABC News. I'll show you a video clip in a moment. But there was a Chinese man who has been reunited with his family after being abducted as a toddler in northwest China's Shaanxi province 32 years ago. Wow, police have said. Mao Yin was abducted when he was 2.5 years old at an entrance of a hotel in Xi'an in 1988 and sold to a childless couple who raised him as their own son, Xi'an's Public Security Bureau said in a statement. In the following years, police investigated and searched more than 10 provinces. Wow, talk about a relentless search. And municipalities for the child. It's so powerful. On Monday, this is Monday just gone, Mao Yin, now 34, and his parents embraced at the Xi'an Municipal Public Security Bureau in the provincial capital. Li Jingxi, Mr. Mao's mother, said, I would like to thank the tens of thousands of people who have helped us to find this. This is the part that gets me, right? Check this out. To find her son, Miss Li quit her job and sent out more than 100,000 flyers. That's a lot of time down at Office Works. She also joined volunteers in collecting information about missing children and providing it to the police. Get this, with her help, 29 abducted children have reunited with their families. In late April, Xi'an police received tips saying a man from the Sichuan province in southwest China had adopted a child from Xi'an years ago at the price of 6,000 yuan. That's around about 1,300 Australian dollars. After a series of investigations and comparisons, police found a man surnamed Gu from the Sichuan city of Mianyang who resembled the missing Mao. His true identity was later confirmed by a DNA test. Wow. Miss Lee said she could no longer, she could not believe that after helping 29 missing children find their families, she was able to find her own son, adding that she would continue to make efforts to fight against the crimes of abduction. That's the grace of God right there, isn't it? A picture of the grace of God. I'm not going to read any further. I want you to watch this video clip from ABC News, which for me, and I'll break it down in a little bit, which for me exemplifies what we've been talking about. Check this out. Isn't that a powerful picture? This picture of the grace of God. As you look at Lee Jingxi embracing her son, Mao Yin, what you see there is a human picture, one of the closest pictures that we can find of the father embracing us as his children after he finds us. And he's found you this morning and he welcomes you home. Look, I'm here to tell you today that there is, you know, if this is a picture, if this is a human picture, and by the way, Li Jingxi, the mom, is seen in other video reports praying to Jesus. Like there are video clips of her praying to Jesus. You know how powerful that is in China, right? But she's praying to Jesus for her son. That you can find those online. But that's the sort of relentless pursuit that God has by his grace. We don't deserve it. We really don't. We don't deserve this love. We don't deserve the cross. But he does. He loves you. My brothers and sisters, this is the message of grace. It's not a matter of do's and don'ts or whether we can do this or whether we can do that. Look, it's about the relationship you have with Jesus. If you know him, if you know this word, if you know what he says, you read this as coming from the Father who loves us and gives us the instructions and the guidance that we need to live this life out to the fullest, to be enjoy this life that we have for him. But it's starting with the understanding that he pursues us. That's what 1 John 4 verse 11 says, right? We love because he first loved you. He pursues you like Li Jingxi pursues Mao Yin. Even more so on the level of eternity, he pursues you this morning. And so that's the invitation I want to bring you into. Will you give your life over to the true grace, or will you settle for the greasy grace that would say, oh, you know, we're allowed to do this. We're not allowed to do this. Let's just free ourselves up, you know. Let's just free and do whatever we want to do. God's grace is always there so we can always backslide and come back. Look, there is no backsliding anymore. There is a full-on running towards God. There's no plan B in my back pocket. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation made by the grace of God. Look, brothers and sisters, come on. Come on, let's not flake out anymore. This is what Jude encourages us. And this is what I'm encouraging you this morning. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know why? Because he pursues me with a relentless love. There is no grease in my grace. Turn to somebody and encourage them on the chat or whatever. If you're next to somebody, tell them, there's no grease in my grace. Let me pray for you. I want to pray for anybody here who desires to respond to this message. And I'm going to invite you into this relationship that you can have with Jesus. Some of you are hearing this message, you're like, man, you know what? This would be good for so-and-so to hear. Look, after this message loads, you can send this message to somebody. You can post it to them just to encourage them. It's not, you don't want to miss this opportunity for people to hear the gospel. This really is what it is. But if you're here today and you're watching this and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to live a greasy Christianity. You know, grease speaks of like just shady, right? Like a real watering down of our Christianity. No, this morning we go all the way. And so I invite you to a place of going all the way. And if you would join me in prayer just by repeating this prayer with me, or you can pray in your own heart, giving your life fully over to God. I really want to invite you into this place of prayer. So God, I thank you, Lord, for your picture of perfect grace. I thank you, God, that even this morning you're showing us just how much you love us and just how foolish it is to believe what the enemy would say, to put our questioning of this love into place. Lord, this morning we receive your love. We believe in faith that you love us. We know that you love us. You give us life. Your mercies, as we talked about last week, are new every morning, and we're alive this morning. We're thankful for all that you've given us. But Lord, thank you for your son who saves us. So Lord, we give our lives to you. We give over control to you. We pray you would have your way in us. Just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today as a sinner, recognizing that I need your grace. So come have your way in me. Take full control. I declare that I am yours and you are mine. Thank you that you're in control and that you are a good Father who loves me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning, welcome to the family. Welcome to our spiritual family. Look, the angels are rejoicing. Our Every Nation Brisbane family is rejoicing this morning. So if you're watching this right now live, I want to encourage you. We have our prayer team who are going to be praying for you. We have an area for prayer. Normally, we would have an area where you would receive prayer after the service, but we want to pray for you right now. We have our prayer team who are ready to minister to you, and so we're going to put a link up in the chat right now. I believe there's a Zoom link that you can click on. As you click on that, then our prayer ministers will be there ready to pray for you however you desire to respond. If you're giving your life over to Jesus, they'll help you. They're there for you. If you're saying, you know what, I just need a prayer. I just need prayer in a specific area. Or maybe you've got a loved one who's been battling illness. Take some time to just look for that link, click on it, and then it will give you access to our awesome prayer team who are ready to pray and minister to you. What I wanted to ask you today is this question here. How can you, in a very practical sense, how can you contend? How can you fight for unshakable faith in and beyond COVID-19? I'll read that one more time. How can you contend for unshakable faith in and beyond COVID-19? Just take some time to think about that question. Take some time to just think about how you would contend for unshakable faith in and beyond COVID-19.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.